We're going to read from God's Word this morning, and we're going to read from Joshua chapter 1, reading from verse 1 down to verse 9. So it's Joshua chapter 1, reading from verse 1 down to verse 9. Let's listen to God's Word together. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in prayer once again. Let us pray. God, you are indeed the way maker. We thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for the power of your word. Lord, it is our foundation, is what we stand upon. We preach the whole counsel of God. We ask this morning as we study the scriptures now, would they wash over us? Would they transform our lives? Thank you that your word is living and active. It is God-breathed. Jesus, we thank you for your presence with us now. Holy Spirit, move in power, we pray. In your name we ask. Amen. Last week we looked at our Vision Sunday, and we spent some time looking at Numbers chapter 13 and going into chapter 14 as well, and we spoke about our verse for the year, which is Numbers 14 verse 8, about the Lord's delight being in us. And if the Lord's delight is in us, he will give us the land, that land that is flowing with milk and honey. And this morning, I want to just spend some more time looking at Joshua and the call that God placed on Joshua's life. And maybe actually over the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time looking at the book of Joshua. I'm not too sure yet. We'll see what happens. But I felt we needed to spend some more time looking, just spending time looking and drawing out what God is saying to us in this season as his people here in Sandy Hills. And in Joshua chapter 1, God is preparing Joshua and preparing his people for the promise that he had given them about this in a promised land. He is preparing his people, he's preparing Joshua as the leader for what they are about to inherit, and that is the promised land. Last week, we just saw in our children's video, just as a recap, we saw that Moses had sent out 12 spies, that God had said, I'm going to give you the land. Moses had sent out 12 spies, and then 10 came back saying that it was too big a job for them. They were scared and fearful, but Joshua and Caleb came back and responded in faith and said, no, we can do this. God is with us. And I just want to say this very briefly, and it's important for us to hold on to this as we move forward through our sermon this morning and as we move forward into this year. If we do not go forward in faith, we go backwards in fear. If we do not go forward in faith, we go backwards in fear. That is what happened with God's people. They responded in fear, and what did they want to do? They wanted to go back to Egypt. Slavery's better than this. At least we know it. At least it's known, and we know what we're going to expect. That promised land, that stuff that God's asking us to do, that's far too big a job. If we don't respond in faith, if we don't go forward in faith, we will go backwards in fear. In the beginning of Joshua, what we see so often, and we'll touch on this a few times as we go through our verses this morning, we see God's continuation of his redemption plan. The earthly man that was leading this might look different now. Moses had now passed away. Joshua was now being promoted to leader. But the promise was the same. The end goal was the same. God's commitment to his people was still the same. Moses had been used mightily by God. We read in Exodus chapter 33 these words, "The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned aside again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." And already there we see an insight, a really important insight into Joshua's heart. He was somebody who loved to spend time in the presence of God. But we also see the importance of Moses, that God would speak to him as a friend face to face. So for God's people, after Moses, their earthly leader, the one who mediated for them, the one that God used so mightily, had passed away, no wonder there would have been a sense of fear. No wonder that as Joshua, the book of Joshua begins, we see the theme of do not fear. We see the theme of the promised land being the same. And we see the promise of God's presence with his people still being the same. God is reaffirming the covenant that he'd established to the generations that came before them, that it is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Joshua, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. God had raised up a leader to take the place of Moses. And what we need to notice is from Exodus chapter 33 that Joshua was someone, even after Moses left and went back into the camp, that Joshua stayed and would not depart from the tent. What a heart. What a love for God's presence. Let me tell you this, that God is still in control. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world just now. A lot of fear. A lot of mess. But God is still in control. In the midst of a global pandemic, God is still in control. When his people rejected him and turned their back upon him and wanted to return to slavery, God was still in control. And do you know what I think is just amazing? I love God's word. It is just incredible. And what I think is amazing is this. Even in the midst of God's people's rebellion, when they turned their back and said, "No, God's brought us out here to die. We're going to choose new leaders. We're going back to Egypt. We're rejecting the promised land and in doing so, rejecting God's plan of redemption. We want to go back to slavery." Even in the midst of that, we see the sovereignty of God at work. What happened after that? Well, God said, "Well, you're not going to get to go into the promised land. Moses and Aaron, you're not going to get going either. A whole generation's going to have to pass. The next generation can receive the blessings that I have in store for my people." Joshua and Caleb responded in faith. They can go in as well. Joshua would lead. And that's what we see. Joshua becomes the next leader. He's the one that leads the people in. What does Joshua's name mean? Yahweh saves or Yahweh delivers. And from the Greek name for Joshua, what name do we get? Now, if you grew up in Sunday school, you always know the good Sunday school answer is Jesus. It is the same root. And Jesus was given the name Jesus. Why? Because he would save his people from their sins. It is just incredible, of course, that we Joshua, who would lead his God's people across the Jordan and into the blessing of the promised land. God would use Joshua as a prophetic illustration of the one who would eventually come to not just deliver God's people from earthly slavery and into earthly blessing, but would deliver God's people from spiritual bondage, the wages of sin, and into the blessing of eternal life. The ultimate Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer, Jesus. And all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And God here, when he's speaking to Joshua, he's not just speaking to Joshua. He's addressing Joshua, and in doing so, he's addressing his people as well. Grammatically, when we read about you, when you go into the promised land and every place your foot will tread, the you and the you are in the plural. God is not just speaking about Joshua here. He is speaking about his collective people who will be led by Joshua. Why is that important? It's important for this reason. The calling that God has placed on your life has the potential to bring huge blessing and freedom to others. We need to get past this understanding that we live in a vacuum. We see this increasing in society and in culture where what the world says is if it's good for you, then you go for it. Regardless of what it means for other people, regardless of the consequences it's going to have for other people, if it's good for you, you do it. That's what the world says. But Jesus, he calls his people to love God and to love others. And just like God had said to Moses in Numbers chapter 13, God says the same to Joshua here in verses 3 and 4. I'm giving you this land. You're not achieving it by yourself. I'm going ahead of you. I'm making the way. I'm preparing the way. I'm doing this. It's all about me. But what's funny is, in the natural, they didn't have it yet. But how God is speaking to Joshua here, it looks like they already possessed it. In the natural, they hadn't crossed the Jordan yet. They hadn't gone in to take this promised land. But spiritually, it was theirs. Why? Because God had said it. God had decreed it. God had said it was going to happen. Joshua got what the other 10 spies missed. The other 10 spies also knew and heard that God was going to do this. It was God's promised land. He was going to deliver it for his people. It was all of God. They missed that. They looked at their fear. They allowed fear to go before them and fear to be what they viewed things through. But Joshua and Caleb, they looked at things through the lens of faith. God has said it. It's going to happen. We don't live by chance. We don't live by chance. We live by faith. That is the lifestyle that God had called his people to be a people of faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk in the footsteps of faith. And faith isn't taking a punt on the hope that something might happen. We read in Hebrews words to the effect of faith is the conviction of things not yet seen. And the assurance of things hoped for. We have an assurance. We have a solid foundation. God had said it. I'm giving you this land, Joshua. I'm giving it to you. Just as I promised to Moses. It's what God says here at the end of verse 3. Just as I promised to Moses. How reassuring would that have been for Joshua as he's just stepping into leading God's people, that God is saying, see the one that I spoke to face, the one that was my friend, I'm promising the same promises that I gave to him to you. Just as I promised to Moses, I'll be with you. Moses had been given these promises. But sadly, he didn't see the fruition of them. Sometimes the promises that God reveals to us, we do not see with our own earthly eyes. Why does he reveal it to us then? I think it's for this reason: to carry it forward in our hearts in prayer and to begin to head towards that promise. Not long after I started here in Sandy Hills, I was told about a godly lady in this congregation who had passed away many, many years ago, long before I had come. And I was told that she was a person of prayer, and that her prayer was simply this: God, would you send your Holy Spirit? Now, does that prayer mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't here when she was praying? No, that's not the case. The Holy Spirit was here. But what she was meaning by her prayer was, God, give us an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And I firmly believe that we are at the beginning of seeing those prayers answered, come to fruition. Those prayers that Revelations chapter 5 verse 8 talks about, when it says that the prayers of the saints, they're stored in a bowl in heaven. What a beautiful image that is. That God hears our prayers, and the prayers that are in faith, that are in accordance to his will and to his purposes, they're stored in a bowl in heaven. Just waiting to be answered by God at the perfect time and in accordance to his will. That's what we see here. Joshua is now getting to step forward into the promise that God had promised all the way back to Abraham. Come and I'll leave your home. I'm going to take you to a place. You don't have it yet, Abraham. I'll show it to you. Hundreds of years had passed, and now the promises of God were coming to fruition. And in verse 5, the first part of this speaks of, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And the first part of verse 5 is the promise of victory. Anyone that stands before you, anyone that comes against you, they will fall, because I am with you. That's what God is saying to Joshua here. No one will be able to stand before you, Joshua, because I'm with you. Now, the being with God and the God being with his people, that's an important thing to hold on to as we might journey through the book of Joshua. And God said nearly exactly the same promise to Moses, all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 11. But what I love about Joshua, and see this, what I love about Joshua is that he doesn't respond. When God called Moses in Exodus chapter 3, Moses meets the call of God with question upon question. Who will I say sent me? What am I going to do? And God has to say, I'll give you a sign, Moses. That actually, when you lead the people out of Egypt, you will worship me upon this mountain. He had to give Moses a sign. But here we have Joshua just receiving what God has said. God has said it, it's going to happen. And God had said to Moses that exact same thing in Exodus chapter 3, I will be with you. And what does Moses respond with? But who will I say sent me? I will be with you, Joshua. And what does Joshua say? Nothing. The first thing he says in verse 10 is he commands the officers of the people to get ready, because in 3 days' time, we're going to take this promised land. He responds in faith. Now, had God become more trustworthy in between these two promises and callings? No, that's not what happened. But this is what did happen. Joshua was now in a place where his faith had been formed. He had the blessing of living under Moses, the blessing of the footsteps that Moses had taken in his walk with the Lord. So Joshua's norm was just spending time in the tent, not wanting to leave. Moses had helped cultivate this place, this spiritual atmosphere for a young leader like Joshua just to rise up and not question, but just move forward in the faith. Years of watching Moses and his relationship with God. Years of spending time in the tent, not wanting to leave because he was so captivated by the presence of God. Wouldn't it be incredible, and shouldn't it actually be the case, that those who are coming after us, that they would just receive and accept what God has said? Maybe the things that we've struggled with, the things that we've had to battle against, the giants of culture, the giants of tradition, the giants of religion. Wouldn't it just be incredible if those in our ex-groups, Alive or Crèche, those who aren't even born yet, who God will use mightily in Sandy Hills one day, wouldn't it be incredible if actually their spiritual norm, it's the spiritual heights that we may one day reach. Because God has used us to pave the way, to cultivate a place, a spiritual atmosphere of receiving what God has said and responding in faith. Wouldn't it be incredible if our young people, our children, even our grandchildren grew up just knowing that Sandy Hills Parish Church, that is a church that honors the Word of God, that puts God first, puts God's will above anything that they want to do. They seek after the kingdom regardless of what cost it might bring to us. Wouldn't it be incredible if our young people, our children, our grandchildren, those who aren't even born yet, if they could enjoy the blessings of the godly decisions that we take right now, right at the beginning of 2021, that we would begin to take more godly decisions, take more steps forward, going more forward in faith, and that our young people, our children, our grandchildren, that they would get to enjoy the blessings of those steps of faith that we take. That's what we see with Joshua. He was enjoying the blessings of the steps of faith that Moses had taken. And verse 6 is possible. Why? Because of the assurance of the end of verse 5. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. How could Joshua be strong and courageous? Because how verse 5 finishes, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. That's where your strength and your courage should be, not in your ability, not in what you can do, your hobbies, your finances, anything like that. Our strength is waiting upon God, knowing about that promised assurance of his promised presence with his people. That word courage, it's a really important word. Within that word courage, we have the meaning of resoluteness. Be strong, be courageous, be resolute. Don't waver. Do not waver. And I understand why courage is often used here, but I think that resolute or resoluteness would probably fit the narrative better when it goes on to speak about the law and the importance of being obedient to the law. God was calling Joshua to be someone who was strong, who was courageous, but who didn't waver from the word of God. That God would raise up leaders who are resolute, who do not depart from the authority of God's word. So we saw last week that Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, that When the people rebelled, they didn't try and meet them in the middle. They didn't form a committee and think, how can we ease this offense that might be caused? That's not what they did. They called God's people higher. They called God's people to God's expectations. They didn't waver. They stayed resolute. They called them up to where God wanted them to be. Don't rebel. Move forward in faith. And too often churches dilute the message of the gospel so that we, because of this fear of offending people, if God has said it, may we live it. If God has commanded it, may we do it. Now I said that God was preparing Joshua and his people for the promised land. What do we see about these preparations? They are internal preparations. He doesn't talk about tactical battles or military actions. It is internal preparations. Be strong, be courageous. And then in verse 7, he brings it forward again. Be strong. And this time he says, very courageous or very resolute. The work that God does in his people first begins in his people's hearts. It is an internal transformation that leads to external fruit. An internal transformation that leads to external fruit. If God is doing a work in your heart, it should be visible for people to see. By their fruit, you shall know them. If God has touched your heart and is doing a work in your heart, it should be visible externally. God here calls Joshua to be strong and very courageous. And do not, I'm being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn it from to the left or to the right hand, that you may have good success wherever you go. The key to Joshua's success was his obedience to the law of God. The key to Joshua's success was his obedience to the law of God. May your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May it be what guides me and helps me in every decision that I make. May I weigh everything up against the word of God. And what do we see it says? It says, all the law, not the bits that you like, Joshua, not the bits that are easy, not the bits that are culturally acceptable, but all of the law. And we wonder why our denomination is in such decline. When many are trying to erase and skip over bits of scripture and take them out to make it more culturally acceptable. Oh God, would you have mercy upon us? A church that doesn't preach the word of God will never see kingdom growth. It is as simple as that. A church that doesn't preach the word of God and the whole word of God will never see kingdom growth. God, as the psalmist says, would you revive our hearts? Lord, we repent and we stand in the gap. Forgive our arrogance and forgive our rebellion against you. May we be a people, Lord, who honor your word and who live it out daily, who don't move from the left or to the right, but we do all of it and meditate upon it day and night, and that we would do it all. We can try and make as many external changes as we want. But if that internal change doesn't happen first, it's pointless. We can try and change committees, move pots of money, give it a lick of paint. If we do not have that internal change and God revive our hearts first of all, it is pointless. Jesus says at one point in the Gospels, he calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. You're pristine on the outside, you look lovely and clean on the outside, but on the inside you're dead, there's no life. That is some statement that Jesus said. It's like having the worst chef working in a kitchen in a restaurant. It's like having the worst cook. It might even be me. It's like having me cooking in a restaurant, or the worst chef in the world cooking in a restaurant, and actually people aren't coming. So what do? You change the decor, you change the name of the cafe or the restaurant, you make the seating look a bit more modern, and you try to do this, and you try to do that, and you still wonder why no one's coming, but it's because the food sucks. The chef is rubbish at cooking. That is the change that needs to be made in that cafe. It's what people are being fed. After you've sorted the food out, you might be able then to change the decor and things like that. And if we aren't being faithful to the word of God, what's the point in making structural changes? But thanks be to God that he has a people here in Sandy Hills. And it is one of the things I admired about you as a congregation the most, is that you love the Lord and you love his word. Let that never leave this house. Let us always be known as a house who love the Lord and who love his word. Our time is moving on this morning. I've just got a few more things to say. Our verse for this year is, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. The more we meditate on God's word, the more place that we give it in our lives, the more we stand upon it, the more we honor it, the more time we walk with the Lord, the deeper our walk with the Lord goes, the more confidence we have in his faithfulness and in his promises. The more time we spend in his word and the more we spend in his presence, the more we can trust in his goodness. The more we read his scriptures, the more we can discern his voice as he speaks. And one thing that's important, it speaks about success here. Now, success here is not talking about financial gain or financial elevation. Our goal should be to seek God, not to get a financial advantage or financial gain. The prosperity gospel that sadly many preach is not biblical, and you will not find a warrant for it in Scripture. Joshua's success was nothing to do with the size of his bank account, but was everything to do with the purposes of God being fulfilled. That was what Joshua's success was. And the internal preparation was visible. And we see it in verses 10 and 11. The preparation internally had happened. And how did Joshua respond? He told the commanders of the officers, get ready, we're going in 3 days' time. The work had taken root in their heart. The word had taken root in their heart. They trusted in the promises and were moving forward in faith. The call here that God was placing on Joshua's life was to obey the law, to put God's call first in Joshua's life, put God's will first in Joshua's life, to live as God had commanded, regardless of what they came up against, and to walk in the paths of righteousness. The Lord's delight is found in his people when they seek his face and live a holy life. True belief leads to action. That's what we see with Joshua. He believed and it led him to action. That's what true faith is. As one commentator said, the promises of God are unconditional in terms of God's own commitment, but their enjoyment depends upon our detailed obedience, and that means faith, which shows itself in works. A church that truly believes the word of God is a church that lives in accordance to the word of God. May that be what we do in this year, like we have in the years that have gone on. Let us continue to press into God's word, to respond in faith, and to move forward to the promises that he has for us as his people. Amen.